Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jillian spent the last 30 seconds trying to figure out if we were on the air.
I was just grooving. Jillian
she was
like,
are we live?
Starting us out with a little.
She was.
Busy getting it.
I like that. I like that a lot. Well, thanks for hanging with us today. We're live and local. Super excited about being here on Saturday. Overtime right here on 610 Sports Radio. We have Uno Cero in the building.
Yep, I am here.
We have Julio in the booth.
Yeah, yeah.
And hey, it's Jillian. We're super excited you guys are here today. Maybe you caught us Thursday evenings, Jillian Carroll and Osero. We are changing and evolving into a live and local show on Saturdays.
Yeah, and Jillian Carroll's here. She drove all the way in from Wyoming to be here and do this show live and locally here in Kansas City.
Your boy's
we are
Wyoming.
Happy to have you back
thank
in town.
Thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Thank you. Thank, she was
from
that
Wyoming?
Emmy was so powerful. Yeah, you drove. You had to drive all the way
it's
from across
enough.
The country.
No,
she was in Yellowstone National Park the show.
I took
and
the
now
jet.
She's here.
I took the jet, hopped on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The jet that they give you when you win the Emmy Award.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and
she
you
wants
fly
to show
in.
Emmy.
It's made of solid gold, too, just like the Emmys are. And that's how she got here.
And there goes that. Okay, so that's out of the way here. Thank you. No, I did drive in this morning, though. I would not miss a show. I'm very excited to come back.
We appreciate that.
Of course. Of course. We got a good show to start off with. As we talked about, obviously, our show from Thursday grew, so we gained an hour, and we're looking forward to being more generally just Kansas City. So live and local is our theme. We're looking at arts. We're looking at sports. We're looking at music, restaurants, everything Kansas City. And we're getting started today. We have a little intro here, so hopefully you guys reach out and say what's up. Pretty excited to follow a whole day, the whole rundown. It started off with what?
10 o'clock, lead off with Brandon Kiley.
That was a good one.
And then obviously you have Out of Bounds with Dusty Likens and Nick Price, which is a very big show. They out here killing it there with their master's coverage over there on from 12 to 3. And then obviously now us, 3 to 5. Well, actually 3 to 4:30 today, but
today.
Usually we're going to be 3 to 5 because we have 6:10 Saturday coverage of the Royals. Cody Tapp, Cody's On Deck show at 4:30, a full hour of local Royals coverage before the network takes over. And you get Steve Stewart and Steve Fizziok and all the guys up there as they get you ready for game number 2. For the Royals in their weekend series.
Which should be good, but we're more excited about our show, so thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, we can't say that because we're the home for the Royals, so we're excited about the Royals, too. But, yeah, we are currently in our debut of the sequel to Jillian Carroll and Uno Cero, that is hashtag overtime.
Hashtag overtime. Love it. Got some good stuff for you today. We're talking Royals. We're talking sporting. We're going to bring in a local guy, artist, homegrown, doing some really big things, and just in the arts and the music and the photography industry, got a place down in the West Bottoms. He goes by the name of Travis Carroll. Yes, he is my...
He's no relation to Jillian Carroll. No relation at all.
No, he is my youngest brother. Pretty proud of him, but he's just a really great... just a good kid to get to know. He's really heavily active down in the arts, and like we said, he has a studio in the West Bottoms. We'll hear from him later, obviously, in the show, but... Julio will jump in and bring us some web hits and keep us current. And we're starting off with what's going around. Well, finished up the Final Four.
Yep.
And our boy, Patty Cakes Mahomes, was all over. I fully believe that there was probably at least one or maybe two cameramen whose one job was to follow Mahomes during the championship game. What do you think?
Yeah, let's be honest here. I think a lot of Chiefs fans. I think a lot of fans in general in Kansas City decided that they were going to be bandwagon Texas Tech fans simply because of the fact that Patrick Mahomes, they had the Patrick Mahomes cam trained on him the entire time. And he, a lot of people, I've seen this all around the city. I saw this on social media and whatnot. People adopted this Texas Tech team. People really fell in love with this Texas Tech team, even though we all knew that there was nothing really that redeeming about Texas Tech basketball. They play a very boring style of basketball that I personally don't really care to watch. But people adopted this team after their favorite teams got knocked out, K-State, Kansas. Mizzou didn't even make the damn tournament. And so they adopted this team simply because of the fact that Patrick Mahomes was the guy. He's our guy, and we like whatever he likes. And so I feel like a lot of fans in Kansas City and around this area here adopted this team simply because of that. And it wasn't enough for me, because I was really only watching this tournament because of Duke, because I really wanted to see Zion Williamson go out there and play, or RJ Barrett play, because one of those two is going to be a future Phoenix Sun. And so it was, that was the only reason why I had to watch. But there was a lot of fake Texas Tech fans here in the last couple weeks or so, simply just because of Patrick Mahomes.
I don't see a problem with that. I think there are so many brackets busted early that people were just trying to appreciate the game, and they could relate to Texas Tech being a Cinderella story and their number one cheerleader being a guy who they are a huge fan of. And so I think they were kind of living vicariously through him. And I think that they just jumped on the bandwagon. Kelsey was out there a couple games too, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Fake chugging beers and such.
Fake
chugging. Yeah, I saw
that. They were chilling. I thought it was, you know, good for them, you know, that they're able to go support. And I do not see a problem with all these, like
you're saying. Does Travis Kelsey look like a beer chug? He looks like a liquor guy to me. Like, he looks like a guy.
A
Ciroc guy, you know? Like, he looks like he's on the stuff that the rappers endorse, like Ciroc. He looks like he's a Cristal guy or Hennessy.
I don't really see him shotgunning a beer.
No, yeah, no. He doesn't look like the guy.
What makes you say that, though?
He's too pretty. He's too pretty for that.
He is not, when you look like, when you think beer drinker, you don't think.
I think of a beer drinker.
I think Chris. Look at Chris.
I'm not a beer drinker. I'm a liquor drinker. I drink Jack. Like, guys with the big, thick beards like this, they're Jack drinkers. He looks like a Ciroc. He looks like a Bacardi guy, you know?
Bacardi, that's a female drink.
No, guys drink Bacardi, too.
Come on.
No, I know.
I'd classify that as a female drink.
I disagree with
it
you.
It doesn't mean I don't enjoy them.
I vehemently disagree drink. With you. I think that Bacardi is a man's drink.
So you think that he was fake?
Hey, Dusty. Is Dusty. Is Bacardi a man? Can you hear me? Yeah, you can hear me. Is Bacardi a man's drink? Yes or no? Can men drink Bacardi? He gave me the thumbs up. He gave me the thumbs up in the middle.
Female. If it's borderline, it's female.
No, it's not.
If you're out at the club and you order a Bacardi, it's going to come with an umbrella. It's going to come with the cherry.
Not all Bacardi drinks are going to get an umbrella.
Drink.
No, that's not true at all. I think that is if you get like the drink that has the umbrella in it, that's a that's a female drink.
Hey, it's so, one step above Malibu is where I'd put it.
No.
And what's Malibu? A female's drink.
No, it's not one step above. It's got the bat on it. It's got the cool logo. I know people
trying
that,
too hard
I know
for
that,
this, Chris.
I know people trying that drink Bacardi. Anyways, Travis Kelce looks like a Bacardi.
So we
drinker.
Think he was, you really think he was fake chugging those beers? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, we all saw it.
Why?
There's no
why
doubt
would you
about
fake
it. He fake chugged the beer.
The beer. Why?
Because it's cool.
He wanted to look cool without actually getting drunk.
I don't think Travis Kelce needs to worry about needing to look cool. I think whatever Travis Kelce does, people think is cool.
I don't know. People were pretty angry about him throwing the flag back at the ref. I don't think people were like, "Oh, that's cool. I love that. That's Travis Kelce."
Okay, but as far as like style or swag or being out doing whatever, I think whatever he's doing, people are like, "Okay, that's Travis Kelce, so it's cool by me." I don't think he needs to worry about trying to be cool. I think he's already pretty good.
I think
he's got to maintain that persona.
I think Kelce has like a higher bar to be cool. Like if Patrick Mahomes did that. Like, Patrick Mahomes has a lower bar because, I mean, people really like him. Like,
I don't know.
Really
I,
like him. Like, he could be cheesy, he could be corny, and people will still love it because it's our quarterback. It's
the man
Patrick
wore
Mahomes.
Jorts, and everybody loved him.
Yeah, no, because that normally, that would be unacceptable.
Like, but it's him.
The only people that can wear jorts are Anthony Sherman and John Cena. That is it. Those are the only
Sherman
two people.
Should, let's get this clear. Anthony Sherman should not have worn them.
No, he could do it. Was not a good he look looks for like him. A guy that would wear jorts.
Was it funny? Yes. Was it a good look?
Anthony Sherman could pull it off. He could pull off because he had the suspenders. He had the whole overalls and whatnot. He could pull it off. Him and John Cena, only two people that could wear jorts.
Whatever. Patrick Mahomes wore
it. Patrick Mahomes wore it and it was disgraceful. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed.
I think people ran with it. I was talking about
we might have to trade this man because he's rocking jorts and a cut. He wore a cut off T-Bones jersey. That
right,
was unacceptable.
And then months later, he's MVP and people are dressing in jorts for Halloween trying to beat Patrick Mahomes.
If he shows up in jorts at the races, what is it, next month that they're doing the races? If he shows up in jorts there, we had to talk.
He's not going to repeat an outfit. He might do that.
And maybe he'll have like a new jersey. He'll have like a different local jersey. Like he'll show up in like a Mavs jersey, off just like he did with the T-Bones, and he'll wear the jorts there. And then I'm gonna have to go up there, and we're gonna have to have a talk.
Hey, just wanted to chime in here with the text line here coming in hot. Bacardi is a female drink. Another one from the 816. No self-respecting man drinks Bacardi.
First and foremost, you can't even spell Bacardi correctly on the text line.
I knew you were going to say
that. Can't even spell Bacardi correctly on the text line. It's B-A-C-A-R-D-I, not B-I-C-A-R-D-I.
Because it's a man who doesn't drink it.
No,
she's got a point.
You're not a Bacardi expert if you can't even spell Bacardi right.
Well, he's saying it's a man.
No.
It's a female's drink, so he's talking about it. I don't know anything about it.
I disagree with the texter on the text line, on the Protein Housie with the Purpose text line, 69306. I disagree with you. If you can't even spell Bacardi right, I can't really take your opinion on this.
It's just proof that he doesn't know anything about
it. It's a tough word to spell.
Because he is a man.
It's not that hard.
Word to spell.
You can Google it.
Okay, I got you.
If you have to Google it, it's a tough word.
Yeah, no, you should Google it before you get it. You can't be an expert if you got to Google it anyways. So, no. I think men can drink it acceptably. Now, if we're talking about Kahlua, that's a female's drink. No. You got a Kahlua, that's a female's drink.
This is off the rails already. We are not even 10 minutes into this show. We're off the rails.
Because back to the fact that I don't think Travis Kelce had to fake chug a beer. I liked seeing Patrick Mahomes out there repping his school, and I thought it was cool. I don't mind the people are supporting it because he's supporting it. Like I said, brackets were ruined from whatever week that was, so people are just trying to enjoy a game. And did you see how I'm telling you there has at least one camera that's sole job was to track Patrick Mahomes?
Yes. Yeah.
His celebrations were on point though. He had the arrow. He had so many different celebrations and they caught every single one of them.
He's gonna be the face of the NFL here.
He's quickly approaching that. Almost,
but you still got Tom Brady looming in the background there. You still got Aaron Rodgers doing all those State Farm commercials. So I mean we're just almost close there. All it takes is for him to get like three commercials per football game that you watch. Well, and it's not even just like for him, like just three commercials for football games that you watch, and he's become that face of the NFL.
This year. It will be this year. Aaron Rodgers has had some negative publicity lately, and Tom Brady is just, he's falling off the map here.
I think people just,
I mean, he just won
that.
The Super Bowl. I don't know, you can say he just won't fall, he's falling off the map.
Yeah, but
people
aren't endeared towards
him. I think they're over it.
Everyone's over that.
Yeah. Mahomes is picking up some steam right now. He's picking up some momentum. He was in this, Essentia water commercial or whatever it was.
Dude's everywhere.
I just saw it earlier. And then all he needs is like that really cool, like, what is he with? Adidas, I think he's with?
He's Adidas. He's like Oakley.
Yeah, he's with Oakley now. He just needs like, three commercials per football game. And all of a sudden now he's become the guy.
Well, I also respect what he did. And I don't know, shout out to his agents, his parents, I don't know what. But he waited on the endorsements. And I appreciate that because I'm sure he had multiple opportunities. But he waited and he proved himself on the field first. And then he was like, okay, they rolled in and he just jumped on it. He just said, didn't he just announce his foundation, the Mahomes? Oh, man, I forgot it now.
15 and Mahomes.
But the man
couldn't
waited.
Think of a better name.
No, I like that.
I hate that name.
But I appreciate the fact that he waited and he proved himself as the athlete, as a stand-up guy, and now all the endorsements. Now, we're not going to be able to go, you know, like you said, like a game without seeing his face.
No. I think once he gets to, like, the three, he's the guy now. And the NFL, I think, really wants him to be the guy because you can't keep trotting out Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning's still doing a bunch of commercials. He got the nationwide commercials right now, and he hadn't played in a few years. They're needing some new blood here. They're needing some new stars, and Mahomes is the guy right now.
Certainly, and I'm okay with it. I'm pretty sure most of Kansas City is as well, but. Let's jump to break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk some Royals. We got a record broken. We got other things going on. Don't go anywhere. Overtime with Uno Cero and Jillian coming up.
Mahomes Magic Crunch.
Julio is just full of good ones today. I'm loving it. All right, we have to jump back over to this text line because y'all are coming in hot and I'm loving it.
The Protein House, Eat With a Purpose text line, 69306.
Yep, you keep promoting that because they're continuing.
I mean, they paid for the spot, so we got to say the name.
No, that's fine, but you keep letting the people know because they keep coming in on my side. So
see, these people don't know what they're talking about.
They're not really feeling Chris right now.
These people don't know what they're talking about.
Listen, this is from 816, Bacardi 151 is a man's drink. I'm 151, okay?
I would agree with that.
Thank you. Thank you, Texter. What was that from the 816? Thank you, Texter from 816.
All the other ones I'm talking about a bunch. Bacardi rum is the same as whiskey, brandy, cognac, vodka, tequila. I would say they're all female drinks.
Get out of here. No.
Okay, so the
one. Too far. That's too far.
Get out of here.
The one piece of, I think the one thing that I would say on this is the only exclusion on this is when you're in college. Because when you're in college, anything you can afford or get your hands on is fair game.
We were vodka drinkers at Mizzou.
We were Natty Light.
Natty Light
was cool, too, if you want to do
Natty
beer.
Natty Ice, actually. We were Natty Ice.
We did Natty Light. Natty Ice, Natty Light. When we splurged, we got Natty Ice. Because Natty Ice is a little bit more expensive than Natty Light. Yeah, when we splurged, we would do that. But you would get, like, a special kind of drunk when you got drunk off of Natty Ice.
You said so we got kind.
Yeah, you get a special kind of drunk.
Like
you,
a drool on yourself,
like,
kind of drunk.
Like throw up in the drive through at Taco Bell kind of drunk. So we would stay away
Sounds
from
very
Natty.
Personal.
It was very personal. Somebody threw up in my car when they got drunk on Natty Ice.
Okay.
We came back from a party in college sophomore year.
Mizzou. I don't think he's over that. I'm
not over that.
I think about it every
that.
Day.
It went to a different place there.
Well,
I'm sorry, guys.
Another one here. No self-respecting man drinks Bacardi. Female drink. And then drink with a word that is referred to as a female. Lots of support. Yes. So thank you. I appreciate that. I am definitely. If you're a man and you're drinking Bacardi, you can keep on walking.
I disagree. I disagree.
That's fine. Thank you for continuing to crush.
And I'm not even a rum drinker anymore. Back in my college days, I was a Captain Morgan's guy. Captain Morgan's is a very manly drink. I don't give a bleep what you say on the text line. Captain Morgan is a
that's very manly.
You see the dude on the cover of the
borderline.
Bottle?
He is digging the hole. Just keep
that dude
digging.
Is just he's got his
digging.
Foot on the barrel. He's got the full beard. He's got the goatee and everything. That's a manly drink.
Nope, false.
Why? I don't think I've met a female
Completely
that
false.
Has. I don't think I've met a female that's drank Captain Morgan's. I don't think I have.
I would drink Captain and Coke.
You'd be the first one I would met that would do that. Because most
know
of them would get some
out
fruity
with,
drinks.
I don't
most
know
of them
who
some
you
fruity
be
drinks.
Your time with.
You need some new friends.
I think I'm doing all right.
Ooh.
I think you guys are just wrong about this.
Anyway, moving on. I do like this last one, though. Tech 9 said it was okay. Okay.
If Tech 9 says it's okay, it's okay.
You just helped Chris's case here.
Yeah, he made a song. He made a song about a drink that included 151 rum. So thank you.
151, again, is a different story.
I agree. I completely agree.
Still
wrong. Thank you.
Still
wrong. And it still takes me back to college.
And if Tech endorses it, I think it's perfectly fine. I think we can do that.
Well.
Moving on.
Yes, moving on. So, big week for the Royals. Won a Whit Merrifield. Ended his, well, first of all, let's talk about the record that he broke.
Yeah, he broke George Brett's consecutive games with a hit streak. That was 30 games that he had. Whit beat that earlier this week, getting his 31st hit on Wednesday. It was a very, very big occasion for everybody here in the city, who was like a hardcore baseball fan.
Right.
Like, obviously, the hype around the Royals has died down the last few years because the team has not been very competitive the last 2 years. But still, like, it's in theory, is a very big accomplishment. In theory. When a guy goes out and beats your franchise hits record, most consecutive games with the hit. When a guy does that, it should be big. But I kind of feel like because this team is not that good, I kind of feel like some of that luster, some of that allure is taken away because I just don't feel like the city is able to enjoy it the way that we would have enjoyed it in like 2014, 2015 when the team was winning. Because you watch the games on like FSKC or you go to the games at the stadium and it's like, there's barely anybody there. And, I'm pretty sure the TV ratings are still pretty good because it's really convenient to watch baseball on television. But I just don't feel like this is as impactful as it could be because the team's not winning right now.
I do think it is incredibly impactful, and the reason why is because it was held by who it was held by, right?
Yeah, George Brett. Yeah.
So the fact that he did come in here, because George Brett is still just such a beloved person in the city and player in the organization and everything, that I think that since it was him, I do think that's why it was such a, I mean, they were talking about it, you know, I don't know, the probably the last few games, like the probably the most last handful of games that they were like, okay, Whit, you know, you're approaching this and getting his opinion on it. And I love that he was such a good sport about it. After every game, he would tell the reporters, all right, guys, see you next, you know, see you tomorrow or see you next game. Like, I love that he played around with it. But I think that what I love most about this is he did it with a bunt. Like, I just think that that was dope to me. The fact that he was like, all of these people think I'm going to just come up here and try to smack this ball and get on base. I think that was so cool that he did that. I think that was intelligent. Exactly.
You know what my theory about that bunt is?
Oh, God, this will be good.
I don't think Whit cared if he got that, if he beat that record or not. I think he bunted because he was like, I'm going to score Terrence Gore. If I get on base, so be it. If not, who gives a bleep? Because I think Whit cared. I don't think Whit really cared about that streak as much as we did. I really don't think. If you listen to his comments after he went out, I think it was the night after he tied the record. Because I was producing the game here over here in the studios, and the first thing he talked about was not the fact that he just tied George Brett's hitting streak. It was, man, we need to be better. We're not as good as we should be. I'm very disappointed in the fact that we're not a better team. We are a better team. We should be better, and we're going to be better. That was the first thing he said when he came and he talked about this with the media down in that clubhouse. It's not a hot take. Right, it's not a hot take at all. Like, oh, let's go back and listen to it. He said specifically, yeah, this is more about the team. He was talking about the team not winning more than it was about the actual hit streak. And then he got onto it because the media was going to
ask about
it.
They're going to take him there anyway.
Yeah, they're going to take him there anyways. But so he made it about the performance of the team first and how he was disappointed that, hey, we should be winning and we're not. You don't bunt in that situation when you're trying to go to try and continue your hit streak and you hadn't done up until that point. He went for that bunt because he was like, Terrence Gore, they ain't throwing his ass out. So I'm going to bunt. I'm going to try to get this guy home so we can get this game tied up and we can try to see if we can win this game in the next two innings. I don't think his priority in that situation was to try to continue his hit streak. His priority in that situation was getting Gore home. And it just so happened that the third baseman was so far off, so far back, that he was not ready to field the bunt, because I don't think anybody expected that to happen.
No, they all expected him to be, I'm gonna come up here and smash his ball, get on base, and break the record. So I think it's a mixture of both. I think, I mean, the guy has the best attitude. He's the best sport, like you said.
Just who he is.
He truly looks like he's just out there enjoying every single inning, every single game, whether they're winning, losing, whatever. And I mean, to me, that's admirable to be a professional athlete and still maintain that just pure joy and interest and love for the game. But I really think that he knew. I think he saw them set up for him to be hitting away, and I think that he was like, here we go. I'm about to do this.
Yeah, he was drooling at that opportunity. And just to Jillian's point about him enjoying, you know, just whether they're winning, losing, you know, he's just so even-keeled. I think a lot of that has to do with how he came up, right? His route to the major leagues was so non-traditional, and having to work through the system and coming up, getting sent back down, coming up, getting sent back down. You know, you have to have a certain type of personality and a certain, you know, your skin has to be so thick to be able to take something like that and then come out in the end to be as successful as he is. And that's kind of what makes him who he is and why he always takes that, you know, team first team approach kind of thing.
Right. And I think that we're going to see that now more than ever in his attitude now that the streak was broken. So his streak was broken. Yeah. So I think that, you know, he tweeted out a message and he said, thanks for you know, all the support thus far. But I mean, we're still going to see him loving every game, giving his all, well, you know, for the team first and foremost. But that's his attitude, like you're just saying.
Yeah, and you also see, I think you're seeing him kind of transition into more of a leadership role, right? Now that they've traded away a lot of those legacy, you know, big legacy type players with, you know, Kane and Moose and all those guys, they need someone in the clubhouse right now because they are so young to kind of take this team by the hand and kind of show them the ropes. And I think he is that transition leader between where they want to be and where they were, and he's the perfect fit for that.
I think a lot of pressure has been alleviated from Whit Merrifield's shoulders. with this hit streak gone. I think it has.
He was 0-for-6. That's that mm-hmm. game that broke his streak.
Yeah,
you can tell he was under a lot
of pressure to keep that going, and that's the reason why I don't think it was a situation where he was thinking about the hit streak when he was up there at the plate on Wednesday trying to get Terrence Gore home. He was up there like, how am I going to get Terrence Gore home? And he just found the best opportunity. And if he got thrown out, he got thrown out. But I don't think he really was looking at it like, yeah, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to try to keep this streak going. I don't think he was thinking about that at one bit. I think he was thinking about, how am I going to get Terrence Gore home, because of that leadership, because he is that guy. I think that because he is who he is and he's a team-first guy, that's the reason why I don't think that streak was that important to him. It was nice to get the card that he's going to laminate from George Brett. That's like, yeah, congratulations on breaking my streak. It's nice to get that. But I think he'd much rather go out there and be able to get a win for his team more so than continue the streak that's just going to put more pressure on him day after day.
Nice to get that card. I think as any athlete, if George Brett is going to acknowledge you and your accomplishment, that's huge. So from the 573, he was definitely caring about the streak. He felt like it was his best chance for a hit. I'm with you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
He's not a regular bunter, though.
He's smart enough to understand the game in that moment.
Yes. I think getting the run home was more important than getting on base for him.
Agreed. But
I think it was a win-win. He saw the opportunity. He saw the infield back on their heels. He saw them expecting him to be swinging away, and he said, okay, I'm going to get all y'all, and I'm going to bring my boy in. Bam! Streak broken. Boom. Drop the mic. Drop the bat. All right. When we come back, we're turning the table over to Sporting. More Overtime with Jillian and Chris when we return. We are back in for a live and local Saturday right here at 610 Sports Radio. We're in the Brown and Crouppen studios. We got Chris, we got Julio, soon to be joined by an in-studio guest here in a little bit. But first, we have some Sporting Kansas City news to be talking about. The boys in blue.
The other boys in blue.
Yeah, you're right. The other boys in blue.
Because there's two teams here.
Rough match. Rough couple match.
Rough couple match. Rough week.
It was a tough one. Went down to Monterey and
got your ass beat.
Got spanked. They got spanked.
And then you went to Cincy and understandably got a draw.
Cincinnati, so first, expansion team did pretty well, I think, creating a quality squad.
Mm-hmm. Which we see in the MLS today is like, it's not that hard to build a contending team, because you look at Atlanta, you look at LAFC. So it's not too hard because you just have money.
You have the entire world to draw from.
You just have money. If you've got a lot of money, you can build a team that can compete.
Yeah. Right. But as we all know, it's not always easy to draw quality players to the United States to play in MLS. However, we're getting there. We've made strides, I would say, over the past 2 to 3 years, probably 2 to 3, really. Anyway, Sporting Kansas City, tough time with Monterey, tough time with Cincinnati.
And then they welcome Monterey to Children's Mercy Park.
And
they got their ass beat just a little less worse than what they did a week before.
It was still ass whooping. You lose by three goals.
That's still an ass whooping.
At least we put a couple in the back of the net. Right?
At least you got some hits in. Like, you got your ass whooped, but you got a couple hits in.
Well, moral victories.
Yeah, it was a moral victory. It's like, hey, we didn't lose as bad as we did a week ago.
I don't know if we can go with any type of victory. I don't know about that.
No, you're
that's a stretch.
Right about that.
It's a 10-2 aggregate.
I will say it was a great episode of the Jer Show. I thought Jerso did very well.
That was
exciting to watch him.
I don't think she made that up. I think that was something that people have used before.
No, we started. That started in 2017. The Jerso.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't. Yeah, she didn't
but
make that up.
I'm trying to
give you credit. But okay.
She didn't make that up. That's not the first time I've heard that.
I clearly did make it up in 2017.
I don't think you did.
Okay, I didn't. Anyway, he came to play.
She came off that quick.
He came to play, and it was exciting to watch him. He slowly, to me, is getting back to his normal self. I think in 2018, we didn't really see much from him. But anyway, just in general, Sporting's gone through it, man. They are having a tough time. So Peter Vermees, we know one of the most competitive people and, just professional managers, he came out and said without hesitation, the most disappointing loss ever in his career was that loss in Monterey, and that was just how was it 7-1?
Oh, the
in Montreal.
No, the first game was 5-0.
5-1. Where am I?
Did they score in Monterey?
No.
No, they didn't score in Monterey.
They scored two here at Children's Mercy Park in the second game. But, oh, man, that was...
just a tough time. Just it was... not typical at all. Obviously, they knew that going into CONCACAF, getting as far as they did, farthest that MLS has gone. But, hey, they got... They went through it, man.
Well, the sad part about this last match was, right, when they played Cincinnati... They put the B, C team almost against Cincinnati. So they were lucky to come out with a draw on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think they earned that though. They fought for that.
The second half they did, but first half was terrible.
Yeah, right. but they did earn it. They did earn it again. You put your B squad out there against their A squad, and you still came away with a draw on the road. That's a victory for me. But that does not help that second game against Monterey and the fact that they rested their starters and still got spanked. 5-2. It's just not a good showing.
No, it wasn't.
This was a wake-up call for the MLS, I think.
We're still not there.
Because when you look at, like, me and Jillian had this discussion, it was off-air a few months ago, about, like, where the MLS ranks in the world slate, all the different leagues. And I thought they were probably 7 or 8. I think they're number 10 now, at the very highest, as far as the world, like, the league rankings, because... The MLS did not, I mean, the Sporting was the representative for the MLS at the very end for them. And the difference between them and Monterey was 8 goals.
And it was.
That was the difference.
And it was so much more than the goal. But, like, it was also just, I mean, Sporting looked like. They looked like a U5 team out there with true professionals. And I was shocked. I've never seen that from Sporting before. They have always. Been competitive. They have always, you know, been able to execute their game plan, maybe not as dangerously as they have against other opponents, but man, I just didn't even recognize them out there.
It looked like if the Kansas City Royals were to play the Kansas City T-Bones in baseball.
Yes. Like, I think that's a good comparison.
I think if those two teams play base, like let's say the T-Bones, like the T-Bones manager issued a challenge to Ned in like spring training, and Ned was like, bleep it, we'll play you. And then they go to the K. Like, I think this is what it'd be like 20-2, you know, like which would be like the equivalent to, you know, losing 5-0 on the road or losing 5-2 at home. It'd be the equivalent to this. Like, this was embarrassing for Sporting. And it was a situation where Sporting was looking, I mean, they were performing really well in the Champions League.
Yeah.
You went out there against Toluca, against a team that we looked at and were like, man, they're going to have some trouble with Toluca.
Right.
And they handled Toluca. They were slapping them all over the field, not only here in Kansas City, but also down there in Mexico. And so you're like, okay, a little confidence here. Mm-hmm. Then they go and face Independiente. Independiente, a team that I think it was last year, they embarrassed Toronto FC. I mean, they just slapped them all over the field. And so, yeah, it was a tough situation for them. They had to come from behind playing in the at Children's Mercy Park, and they got the win, and they got enough to advance. This should have been a game where, yeah, okay. This built some confidence. They got some confidence built up now. This is where they really show what they've been doing all offseason. This is where they show what they've been doing all the last few years, building this team up. And all of that just to see them get destroyed by Monterey in two straight games.
And destroyed is truly the word.
It was not. They did not lose to Monterey.
No.
They got destroyed by Monterey. They got obliterated by Monterey.
They were owned mentally. They were physically outplayed. They were, I don't know about... I mean, it was just, they were obliterated, and it was rough.
Every insecurity that I voiced to Julio off air when we were doing our first show about, man, I don't really like this, like the style they're playing, like when we were watching like the CCL games, like the first two teams that they had played, Independiente and Toluca. Every insecurity I voiced about it came to life in this series against Monterey. They found a way to overcome those issues in the first two matchups. This time, it was everything that I thought could happen did happen, and that's a problem.
All that being said, you know what? There's some positivity that we can take from this, and the fact that, look, Monterey, they are a world-class club. They are they are head, you know, their Sporting is not on their level. That's
clear.
Not
at all.
They
separated themselves
a world-class team,
sure,
right?
Did.
And they made it to the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. Like, that's a big deal, and that's a pretty decent step for the MLS as far as moving forward with being competitive with the rest of the world. So while, yes, they did get destroyed, I think we're going to go back to this whole moral victory.
There's
thing,
no moral victories.
But
no.
There is.
They don't exist in soccer.
There is a silver lining to this.
Okay, so I'm with you on that, because the next question we were going to, you know, kind of throw out here is going to affect Sporting Kansas City in the future? And I think it absolutely will. And I think what it's going to do is just piss them off. I think they were embarrassed. I think it was a slap in the face. I think it was a wake-up call. And I think that knowing Peter Vermees, how he runs his operation there, and knowing those guys, you know, knowing, you know, there's many international players that are really proud to be on this team. I think that they were all embarrassed about how they showed. And I think that if anything, that this is going to be like a fire under their ass, and they are going to just bring it, and they are going to get their stuff together, and they are going
Jillian,
to
hold herself back.
No, I was
about to hit that dump button there.
Hey, listen, I got it. No, but I really think that this will just be, I think they're never going to forget that game, like, ever. And I think that they're always going to remember that. And when they play, they are going to play to ensure that that never happens again.
And frankly, I think the one that hurts the most was the one at Children's Mercy Park.
Ugh, man.
Because
in
it was competitive.
Fans,
it was competitive at halftime. And then the second half, you just got your ass whooped for 45 minutes plus. It was pretty embarrassing. So I think there'll be a little bit of a hang up, a little bit of hangover early on. But I think you know, a couple weeks from now, I think they'll dust themselves off, they'll quit moping around, and they'll get their bleep together.
All right, enough of that. Best of luck to them. They host New York Red Bull tomorrow at Children's Mercy Park. Hopefully you guys can tune in for that one. Coming up next, we are joined by a one, Travis Carroll. Hugely talented kid, photographer in Kansas City, homegrown. We got a lot to share about him. Don't go anywhere. Overtime with Jillian and Chris. And we are back in Live and Local Saturday here at 610 Sports Radio, doing our best to showcase all of what Kansas City has to offer. That includes more than just sports. And I am especially geeked today to welcome in our in-studio guest, Travis Carroll. My baby brother is in studio with us. How you doing, bro?
Man, so good. How are you guys?
Good. Really excited you're here. And in talking to Chris and Julio before the week, I was like, guys, we have to have my brother on. If we are talking anything about arts or music or anything downtown West Bottom, like, we have to have this kid on, because he is just all over. The credential list, like, it's so long, I don't have it all. But Travis, you know, born and raised here, went to high school here, graduated from the Kansas City Art Institute with a major in photography. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Worked with an incredibly prevalent commercial production studio here in Kansas City for your internship. Went over to St. Louis, got some work experience there, some real life work experience, came back home, and now you're crushing it here. Your own studio. But also doing a lot of work with 8183 Studio as well. But I mean, talk about some, I don't even know them all, honestly, but some of the big names you've worked with. You've done some really big jobs in Kansas City and outside as well. What are some of those?
Yeah. So, we've been pretty lucky enough to work on some projects for brands like, AMC Movie Theaters, Bose, Boulevard, Frito-Lay, Pepsi, I could go on. Cadillac, Mini Cooper. We've been really lucky to have a really neat client list that provides us with a lot of work, and they trust us to kind of deliver, and we have. So, yeah. There's a lot. If you can think of it, there's a good chance we've done the work for them.
Right.
So,
I read on your website, and you talked about how you failed two photography classes.
Yeah.
And then after this failure of two photography classes, most people, when they fail something twice, they're like, maybe I'm not good at this. So, you know, bleep it. But you kept pushing. You kept trying. What was it that got you to keep doing this, even though you had that initial taste of failure?
That's a really great story. I had a teacher in high school who, she kind of fulfilled her legal obligation. She had to fail me because I wasn't following the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
But she kind of gave me a, you know, off the cuff type of curriculum. She said, hey, look, I have to fail you. However, I need you to do this. So she kind of let me do whatever I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And it was her, with a combination of my mom, that suggested that I pursue this as kind of a career for college. And it's just so funny because, yeah, I failed the hell out of those classes. And
that sounds like me in college.
Yeah, it was bad. But I had just a couple of mentors and teachers who really told me that I was good at something. And I had no reason not to believe them. So I just kind of kept going and going. And it kind of snowballed into whatever this is that I'm doing now. But it's cool. You know, failure is like one of my favorite things to do. So it's, I have to push the limit and see where it goes bad. And that's where I can kind of dial it back and float in that region. So I hope that answers your question. I'm not really
It's actually
sure.
pretty funny because most people, when they taste failure, they're like, I don't really want to taste that anymore. So I'm going to do something else.
Yeah, they get scared and they go
exactly.
elsewhere.
So it's actually refreshing when someone tastes failure and is like, yeah, I want more of that. Absolutely. I just want the better of the two tastes. Yeah, so I like that.
No, I love it. And obviously I'm a big sister, so I'm extra like uber proud or whatever. But the fact that this kid, I mean, this kid is so wildly talented and he experienced that. The fact that you kept going is admirable. But I'm not going to sit here and just ooey gooey over you. But what I do think you are special is you represent this movement right now in the city, in Kansas City specifically, the arts world, the arts industry, where artists are collabing. They're like working together. They're coming together for greater good and producing and creating together. I know you do a podcast.
Yeah.
I know you bring kids and other photogs into your studio all the time. Tell me about, like, where did that come from? Like, how did that movement start? Is that just Kansas City culture? Or, like, why is that happening?
I think that there's a couple of answers for that. I think, one, I think it is part of just a Kansas City vibe, and everybody is very friendly here, and a lot of people come here from everywhere else. So there's the few of us who were born here and bred here, and then there's a whole bunch of the influences coming from all over the country and sometimes all over the world that are bringing different perspective to the things that we're doing every day. So it's really interesting that we kind of have to flex and be excited about the new energy that's coming in, and we have to adapt to it. So being adaptive is one of the most important things that I've experienced in my career and in my life, really, that has really just opened the door for all of this collaboration and all of this kind of mix and mingling. It's kind of funny because I just had this conversation with a few people yesterday. The advertisement industry is pretty much all I can really speak about because that's where I hang out most of the time. So right now, there's a lot of people making some very substantial changes, and everybody's kind of overlapping and meshing together and creating a whole lot of really great stuff. I don't know where that's coming from, but it's very, very exciting. And the fact that we're located here in the center of the country is one of the greatest things ever, because not only do people come in to us from all over the place, we can go anywhere very quickly. And I don't know how else to, it's just really exciting, and there's a lot of really good energy here, and it keeps getting better, which I didn't think was possible.
And the talent here is crazy.
Oh man, it's massive.
I know that you've worked with, you know, a guy that if you're in Kansas City, you know the name Paul Versailles, or I always say it Versailles, I say it wrong.
It's
Versluis.
Yeah,
Versluis, my guy. But when you look at it, it looks like that.
She was way off.
Yeah, wow.
No, but when you look at it, I promise it looks like that. if you've seen any like wedding photography or anything.
Yeah,
I mean, you've seen this guy's work. I know he's been a big mentor to you. You guys travel all the time together.
Yeah, that's my guy, man.
He's incredibly talented. So how has mentors like Paul and others just cultivated just growth for you, and then therefore you're giving it back to others? So how is that movement just led by people like him?
It's kind of hard to say, because all the people who have highly influenced me and kind of led me on my path seem to have had someone who did it for them. So it's kind of like all we're doing is paying back for what has been done for us, you know? So it's kind of one of those, I love it, because the best thing that I've ever heard from all of my mentors who don't know each other, which is really great, is that you need to be better than me so that I can learn something from you. You know what I mean? So that's like, that's really neat. And being young and willing and kind of specifically designing my career path with no ties makes me a very valuable asset to just about anybody or anything. Extremely flexible and moldable, to where I can do whatever it is that I do, but then I can project that onto others and kind of set a vibe or a tone that allows for people who are kind of looking at me and what I want to do to show them that it's insanely possible. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
What do you feel like has been the most satisfying accomplishment for you in your career?
You know, okay, that's really.
It's a tough question, I know. But you've got so many things you're working on.
I have an answer, and it's satisfying, and it also scares me very, very much because I reached my all-time goal last year, and I didn't know what to do. The only goal that I ever set for myself was I wanted to have my own studio, and I wanted to work on national advertising campaigns. I've been doing that for the last few years. So now we're working on global advertising campaigns.
Right.
Oh, really?
All we can do is just keep doing better and better.
Is there like a fear that it's like the level of success has happened so quickly that you're going to be like the satisfaction is going to plateau, if
sure.
you will?
Of course. That's always a fear. And that's kind of the driving force is that how the hell am I going to outdo myself? How am I going to outdo the other people who are doing what I want to do? Or how am I going to get next to them and do it with them? It's wild. But like the greatest thing about this whole industry is that there is no end. We'll never reach a finish line because there isn't one. Mm-hmm. So we'll be working until the day we're dead. And that's like the greatest thing ever. I love that. That's like, it's very, very exciting.
Very good job security.
I know.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like it's
as long
beautiful.
As you continue to love it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's very easy not to. Mm-hmm. You know, you can only shoot so many teddy bears and chocolate before it's like, oh, goodness.
Is that a Russell Stover's nod there?
Actually, absolutely, yeah.
That's a big client.
You spend
so
6 months, yeah.
If you're listening and you hear Travis Carroll here, his studio's in the West Bottoms. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of, everything, but your work is around the city. The last time I think I saw it was in the Marketplace, right? Kansas City Marketplace. What is that? On the Plaza. What's the store in there? KC Marketplace.
Oh, the Made in KC shop?
Made in KC.
Yeah,
thank
for
you.
Sure. Absolutely.
You can see it there. You can see his work. Like we said, Russell Stover's. I mean, the list goes on. I know that I was ridiculously proud to drive by a billboard that Travis shot a photo for off of 71 Highway.
Which one?
There's
been quite a few.
And that was a flex right there. Yeah, which one did you see?
Well, his work is everywhere. I encourage you to check him out. His website is?
It's caroltravis.com.
And then, obviously, your stuff is on your Instagram. What is that?
It's Travis Carroll 2.1.
2.1 because his original got hacked,
sure
which
did.
I felt bad about. Yeah. Wow. Check out his work. I'm telling you, he's a great representation of what is Kansas City right now. Just this vibe of growth and being creative and... your podcast is what? I'm just plugging all of it right now.
Yeah, we have a podcast, me, myself, and another Travis, a very good friend of mine, who actually works for kind of a competing photo studio, which I love.
Yeah.
It's the Travis Travis podcast. It's just a couple of dudes named Travis, and we talk about creatives, about industry, life, and passion.
That's a great podcast description, a couple dudes named Travis.
That's
dudes
pretty
named
much
Travis.
It. That's it. That's all we do.
Well, we are so grateful that you were able to come in today.
Yeah,
Travis Carroll, best described as a walking energy drink. It's true. If you've got to know him, if you've got to work with him, he's the best. Incredibly talented and just a really good representation of Kansas City. So thank you so much for joining us, bro.
Dude, yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank
all
you.
Right. More from Overtime with Jalene and Chris when we come back.
Back in here on Overtime. Kristen Osero, Jillian Carroll here on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com sports app. Jillian Carroll just came back into the studio.
Listen.
After we had her brother Travis Carroll on. He was a great, great guest. Great first guest on the sequel to Jillian Carroll and Uno Osero. Very interesting stuff. His very interesting website. Really, really cool website. That's the first thing I noticed is like he's got a really cool website. Like that's how you know like somebody like is like doing big things in that world. Like I think one of the most important things for like any kind of business is having like a really cool website.
Well, today you have to.
Yeah, you gotta have a cool
website.
You have
to have a digital representation of your brand.
Yeah,
you know?
And so like I was like, he's got that check.
No, he's just obviously I'm his big sister, but I know, but he really is just so well known. You know, First Fridays, talk about all the galleries down there, everything that's going on. He's just a big influence there, and as humble as he is, you know, I think he's the best, obviously, but he's just a good representation of what we were talking about, just kind of the culture right now in Kansas City and the arts especially and all the creatives and Look, I come from, like, I'm obviously in TV, right? So people are cutthroat, and people will step all over you and break you down to get ahead in a second.
Radio's like that, too.
It can be.
But it's not as cutthroat.
It's, you know, and there are many corporate jobs that are that way. You know, push somebody down to get ahead in a second. But I'm telling you, this Kansas City creative, they are doing something right because they are empowering each other and lifting each other up. And it's just, I think it makes Kansas City special and unique. And I think it's worth celebrating. So that's what we're doing, right? Live and local.
Let's get the Julio's weapons. You're late on that cue, Julio.
A little bit.
He thought I was going to keep going with
a couple things, yeah. She kind of caught me off guard there.
All right, my bad. I'm over it. My brother's got him over it. I'm sorry.
Hey, to be fair, I think he exemplifies exactly what we're looking for with this show. Going local.
Great contribution, Julio.
You're welcome. I do what I can. All right, so I want to start this one off with something off topic. It's not a true sports story at all. Nothing to do with sports. But it is. It's pretty funny. According to Gray News, Benny Van, 25, and Lisa Smith, 46, were entering the store with Smith's dog, Bo. She allegedly brought the dog in without a leash, and the dog began running around the store. While the dog ran around the store, Smith allegedly was tearing apart displays and was asked by Walmart staff to leave. She complied, but then went out into the parking lot to perform karate. While she was doing that, Van allegedly took off all his clothes and exposed himself to other shoppers. However, police said he was trying to cover himself by putting on clothes that were on the display. Officers arrived at the scene and arrested Smith, but not before she had allegedly fought officers by kicking the windows of the patrol car. Police said they attempted to arrest Van as well, but didn't comply, even going as far as trying to run over an officer while riding a scooter. Police eventually arrested Van as well. Meanwhile, Bo, the dog, was found holding a box of Jiffy cornbread in his mouth. Van has been charged with lewd and lascivious behavior, disorderly conduct, and retail theft. Smith was charged with disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and misdemeanor bail jumping.
First of all, Julio.
Where did you find
shorter it? Story? Second, did you make that up?
I know.
Did you make that up? That sounds like something that you would make up. That does not sound like a real story.
Does that not sound like a real Walmart store or story?
I mean, part of it does. When
you highlight the setting being Walmart, you have to open the door to anything could happen.
The karate sounds like Walmart.
Yeah.
I agree with that. That sounds like something that would happen at Walmart. It was like all these details mixed in where, like,
that story's all over the place.
It's hard for me to believe that every one of those things happened at the same time, like in like concurrent succession in the same instance. It sounds like 10 Walmart stories put together into one.
Look, the best part of that was the dog being found with a box of Jiffy.
No, the best part was the karate in the parking lot. That to me is the most interesting part about that story. What's next?
There was a lot going on there. I don't have one.
Jilly wasn't paying attention. She was still gushing over her brother. And
I'm a proud sister.
Dusty Lichen sent out a nice tweet about the show.
He must not have been listening earlier. That's all I had.
So he was. She sent out a nice tweet, and she was like, "Yeah,
no,
great
he was
story."
Saying they almost got her to cuss, but never mind. Anyway, moving on.
Moving
Julio.
On.
Quit stealing his
Mavs
thunder
and Comets
here.
In the playoffs. Your thoughts, please.
Say it again.
Mavs and Comets in the playoffs.
Kansas City, absolutely. Two teams that have gone through. So, Comets, strong the whole time. Strong tradition of excellence. They've been successful. Mavs were up and down this season quite a bit.
They played the Allen Americans like 50 times.
50 times
like
in
every
a row.
Time we talked about them,
or gave
they
tickets.
Were playing or gave away tickets. They were playing the Allen Americans. So, I mean,
no,
man.
But they at one point were like 9-0 at home. Like, they were on a hot streak, right? And then they were like 0-9. I don't even know, maybe 9 on the road. Ooh. So it was tough, but they came through, and so they're in the playoffs.
That's very Royals-esque.
That is very. Well, the Royals don't win at home right now.
Or on the road.
They don't win any.
Not yet.
Moving on. Moving on from that. Should we care? Well, let's go Magic Johnson. Let's do that. Magic quits on the Lakers. This is kind of like breaking up with you on Facebook. Hold on. We have a clip to play from Magic Johnson about being free.
Okay.
She doesn't know I'm standing here because I know I would be crying like a baby in front of her, even though I'm about to cry now. But it's the right thing to do, right move to make. And then that way, he can stay in place, build, hopefully build the team, coach the team the right way.
This was very much like this reminded me of, like, if you're like not really like a real strong, like, tough person, and so like
you call him soft.
Yeah, he's soft. And so instead of
not
like going to, yeah, yeah, he's
that's
soft.
Crazy talk.
He's
does
soft.
He, but does
he's
drink
soft.
Bacardi?
This was
does
soft.
He drink Bacardi though? Is he?
He does not look like a Bacardi.
He probably does drink Bacardi. This was soft.
He's whiskey.
He did not.
He's
he did not neat. Want to break up with.
Guy.
He did not want to break up with Jeannie Buss to her face. He didn't even send her a text. He didn't even call her. He
but
did
he
a
felt
press
that
conference.
Bad about it. He felt that bad.
This
about
is
it.
Like if I had a girlfriend and I break up with her on, like, if you, Julio, you got a girlfriend. If you broke up with your girlfriend on Facebook, you didn't text her, you didn't call her, you didn't tell her in person, you didn't go out to dinner and break up with her at the end of the night, she throws the water in your face. Like, she you just like, yeah, we're done. You just send her like a Facebook messenger, we're done, and then you just like block her. That's what this was like.
It's childish, it was spineless. Be a man, stand up and say, this is what's happening. It's not a hard it's not a hard decision for me to make, but I'm making it. I made it, boom, there it is.
Send her a text at least. I mean, be like, yeah, we're through. I'm done.
No, that's like
I'm
telling all
down.
Of her friends that you're breaking up with her, but not actually
telling her.
That's more what
and
it's
all
like.
Your friends and all her.
Right.
Yeah,
everyone
yeah.
else knows but her.
This was coward. This was drinking Bacardi level right here. This was drinking Bacardi level.
That's what happened.
This was drinking Kahlua level.
We're going to move on.
Right.
You just can't leave that
because,
alone.
Thank you.
U.S. Women's National Team.
Bam.
The road to France. 2 months until the World Cup. Speed Australia 5-3. Belgium 6-0. What's going on?
They are crushing it. They had a bit of a lull. They had an undefeated 2018 where they literally won every single match.
Mm-hmm.
Early in 2019, what game did they lose? Oh my gosh, I can't believe I don't know this right now.
It was in the She Believes Cup.
And it was Australia.
It was Australia.
Yeah.
It was a 2-1, I think it was.
Yeah,
it was a
good match, but they lost. And we talked about it on our mm-hmm. Thursday night show, how we believed that it was going to be, you know, helpful back in the end, obviously. But now they're crushing it. They're looking strong. The roster is deep. They had, I want to say, 4 goal scorers that match against Australia? No, that's who they
Belgium.
Lost to. Belgium, thank you. Looking really good. People are looking really strong coming back from injury. Looking like a very well-organized, well-coached team. And I'm thrilled. Just got my flight information for my trip to France.
Yeah, because she's stunting on us because she's going to be in France. She's going to leave us
and not
in
be
June.
Here doing the show.
Listen,
yeah.
I will call in. You know I'm dedicated. I drive from Wichita every weekend. I will call in.
You don't drive from Wichita. You drive from Wyoming.
Why do you say Wyoming?
It was a very remote state. And it's very far away. You drive from Yellowstone National Park here.
Yes.
Or back when we did Jillian Carroll and Unocero, you did it via remote from Yellowstone National Park. We could hear Old Faithful erupting in the background when you were doing the show.
By the way, it was France that they lost to.
It was France who they lost to?
3-1.
3-1. Oof.
This year?
This
Ooh.
Year.
Okay.
Ooh.
Who is a good contender?
Yeah,
France
good
is going to have a strong team. And they're going to be the home team.
Yeah.
And we saw the men do very well. When that was the case for them.
I mean, hell, we saw Russia go out there and make it to the knockout stage. They had Germany in their group, and they made it
team.
To the knockout stage. Russia was like the lowest ranked team in the tournament, I think.
But our team wasn't even there, so.
Yeah, we should have made it there.
Wah.
Stop bringing that up. Brings up terrible memories.
All right. Thank you, Julio, for your hits. That was excellent. When we come back, we're wrapping things up and heading into the Royals game. Cody Tapple got some stuff for you. Don't go anywhere. More Overtime coming up next. Back in the studio for another for the first ever Live and Local Saturday here on 610 Sports Radio. It's Overtime with Jillian and Chris. Of course, Julio is with us as well. And before we send it over to our dude, Cody Tapp, out at Kauffman ahead of the game tonight, we are talking one last segment about the Royals, specifically Chris Davis getting booed for the lack of performance, even though he's one of the highest paid players.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then you have, you know, our local, obviously, Chris Davis with Baltimore Orioles. But I was, you know, really thinking about this, and you know, I think he just broke that streak today where he was, I think he got a 2-run RBI today.
Okay.
And so I was thinking about this in relation to Alex Gordon, because Alex Gordon is our Chris Davis. He's not as bad as what Chris Davis
has
been.
He was Chris Davis.
But yeah, this year he's actually hitting like 300. But like the last 2 years, he's been our Chris Davis. And so, well, not even the last two, last three. Because the last 3 years, ever since he got paid, ever since he got that big contract from the Royals, there's been questions about whether or not he's worth that much. And I think most people would agree that he hasn't been worth that much. So the question becomes, how much should we care about a guy who is making a ton of money but isn't performing when the team isn't good?
I think people just tend to look for something to complain about when the team isn't doing well. So then they just go to this guy, we're giving you X amount of dollars. Why is the team still losing? I don't think it's going to be one guy's business if the team is winning or losing.
Yeah, because like I looked at this whole Chris Davis situation and the fans are booing him and they're saying all kinds of terrible things on radio shows and on Twitter and the internet and whatnot. And and look, I understand. Frustration. They lost 115 games last year. Why should I care? Like, the Royals lost 104 games last year, and Alex Smith was awful at the plate. He was awful. He was floating around the Mendoza line for most of the year. And my question was, why does it matter if he's getting paid an average of $18 million a year if the team sucks anyways? Like, I can understand in 2016 when the team was trying to compete to make the playoffs. Okay. I can understand in 2017 when the team was trying to compete and make the playoffs. In 2018... wasn't no damn playoffs in sight for that team. So what are we so angry about because he's getting paid so much money when, A, I think most fans understood that that was going to be a bad contract at some point anyways. Maybe you get a year or two of the Alex Gordon that we know and love playing in left field since he came back from being sent down in the minors. Like, I think we all thought, yeah, okay, you know, that's fine. It's okay. Maybe he'll get back to it. Last year, though, with the team losing, the team not being competitive, why do we care so much about what he's making when we already know one player ain't enough to change the fortunes of a team? So,
but fans will go that route.
I know they will.
And fans will say, you're spending so much money on him, he's doing nothing. Take the money and go buy so-and-so because he'll come fix the problem. He'll solve the solution. Like,
yeah,
because
spending the $14 million per year on average that they're spending on Ian Kennedy is going to change the fortunes of this team.
It could.
He's not even in the starting rotation right now. So it's just, that's the thing that's really been so confusing to me is just, why do we care so much about what these people are making when we look at the situation for all these guys? And yeah, you know, they're, you know, Alex Gordon's making a lot of money. Yeah, he's not making, he's not performing at the level that a guy that would be paid as much as he is being paid should be performing at. But you know what? That's life. You're going to have to deal with bad contracts sometimes, especially when you're in a situation like the Royals and you thought, hey, we keep Alex Gordon. Hey, we could win another one in 2016 and maybe another one in 2017, and then we'll see what happens when these guys leave. Obviously, that didn't happen. They didn't make the playoffs after they won the World Series. But it was understanding that, hey, we could still do it a couple more times. But now that the team is bad, why do we care so much about how much this guy's making?
Like, people are just looking for something to complain about.
Yeah, like I just kind of feel like I can understand if let's say that, you know, like what we said about like Alex Smith. Alex Smith deserved every amount of criticism he got because he was taking up a hell of a lot of that cap space for the Chiefs. And he wasn't performing at a level of someone that should take up that much damn cap space. I mean, Justin Houston, we complained about that because he was limping his ass on the field every time because he was always getting hurt after he got that big contract.
I don't think that's a fair comparison.
I don't
know. No, that is very much a fair comparison. That is 1,000%
compared.
Yeah, you can.
You know.
Yeah, you can.
Absolutely not.
They didn't get the job done. They didn't do enough for what they were getting paid.
But look at the jobs that they had. Look at the responsibility level and the pressure.
I would say it was more so for Alex. I would say comparing. I would say, well, they're both Alex. I would say it was more so for Alex Smith.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because Alex Smith was getting paid like around $20 million, and he wasn't playing like a $20 million quarterback. He was playing like a $4 million quarterback. He'd get you.
I don't even necessarily agree with that. He steadied the franchise. He's exactly what this franchise needed.
I disagree. They needed a quarterback that could win them a Super Bowl. That's what they needed. They didn't need.
Well,
like,
he groomed the one that's about to do that. So
that's like after you get out of a bad relationship. Yeah, I'm gonna get me a girlfriend that I have no intention of marrying. I have no intention of being long term with. I'm gonna just be with her for a few months and I'm gonna dump her ass and find the one that I really want to marry. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Sounds about right to me.
That doesn't make any sense to me. No, I'm not here for the stopgap.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. Come on, Chris.
Oh, we look like we just jumped into
some real insight into
we just jumped into Jillian Carroll's personal
Carol,
side.
Right?
Here.
Don't bash
Are you
my
a player?
Style. Don't bash
you
my style.
She out here just throwing guys by the wayside. Oh, yeah.
Use and abuse.
I've had you for 3 months now. I'm bored.
Listen,
I'm gonna move on to the next one.
You gotta come on now. You're not gonna stick around. I'm gonna drop you
oh,
like
man.
That.
That is awful.
To be fair with the Chris Davis thing, look, you're paying that guy a lot of money, which means you're obligated basically to play him. Which means not only is it a waste of money, then you're taking up swings from potential, mm-hmm. you know, guys coming mm-hmm. up from the minor leagues. There's just what good is playing? It's very frustrating. And if I was an Orioles fan, I would be pissed too.
Would you be booing him like they were?
I mean, the whole team sucks.
I was going to say, I don't
the
know.
The whole team sucks.
But then that's like the kitchen sinking, right? Like, they're literally just blaming this guy because he makes the most.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like the whole team sucks.
I feel like it should have been at one point, though. Like, at a certain point, it becomes comical that he can't get a hit to the point where you're actually rooting for him not to get a hit so that he can break the streak.
That's so bad, though. That's
the way
so
I approached
rough.
It.
What was the streak, anyways, of like consecutive games without a hit?
Oh, a lot. I don't know.
See, this is one of the reasons why, like, when I talked about earlier about which streak, is like, I don't think it was, like, super impactful long term. I didn't, like, I knew Mike Sweeney had, like, a hit streak, a 25 straight. I didn't know when he did it. I had to look it up earlier. It was 99. Okay. It was like, if the team's losing, it's not that impactful. These streaks like this aren't, like, super huge, you know? Like, it's like the streaks that happen when you're winning. The great accomplishment you do when you're winning that matter the most. Like,
right,
yeah, it's
but
not.
When
like,
your
yeah,
franchise is what it is and they're losing, then people aren't thinking that way.
Yeah, I just don't feel like it was. I don't feel like it was that super impact. It was nice. It was cool. It was a positive spin on what is likely going to be a very negative season. But you know what? It didn't. I think, like, if we did, like, let's say 15 years from now, Cody's doing Game 6 trivia. And he asked, like, the new money fans when the team's good again, you know, who had the longest hitting streak in Royals history?
They're going to say George Brett?
I don't think whoever's answering that is going to get it right. They're going to say George Brett.
Yeah. They might, but who knows. We are about to throw it over to Cody Tapp, who is at, we think, Gate A.
Gate A, left field.
Go say hi to Cody, but definitely appreciate you hanging with us for our first ever live and local Saturday. Come back and see us next Saturday, starting off at 10 a.m. We've got the noon. We've got, of course, us at 3.
Us at 3.
Overtime with Jillian and Chris, of course, with Julio. Check you guys next week.
Another Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.